Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 32 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 32 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 31 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 31 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 31 degrees.
KE8RUH.
Connected to CMN Network.
KE8RUH. KE8RUH. KE8RUH.
Morning. Back here in a minute. I'm pulling over the gas station.
Man, I'm in late today. I thought I was running late.
Yeah, I'm, nice and late. My wife is actually late. She got out of bed at 6:24, and she's supposed to be at the hospital at 7, so I blame her, because I got up at 5, and I was like, I'll just get out of bed later. She gets out of bed to get ready, and that was an hour and a half later.
Yep, I'm running late today, too. I'm just pulling into the parking lot.
I'm still under the weather, so they're lucky I'm even going in.
Feel the same way. Hey, give me 5 and I'll switch over to my phone.
Alright, sounds good. NADDS.
KE8RUH.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Clear. 30 degrees.
88, are you late?
That was quick.
Yep, just grabbed my stuff and dropped it in the office. Now I'm walking around, turning all the lights on. So, are you feeling any better? I'm starting to feel a little bit better, but by midday, I'm crashing hard.
Last week, Friday, Saturday, I was convinced that I was out of the woods. Even Sunday. I drank Saturday. Hang out with my buddy. We were putting a humidifier on the furnace. And then I woke up Monday with a head cold. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it went from, like, a full body and lung BS, which is constant, like, coughing, to, like, a sinus infection overnight. And I woke up today, I could breathe again. But I'm still here. I'm still a little congested, and I have this annoying little coughing. So I was like, what the hell? This is week three?
That sucks. Yeah, I just have had a cough and congestion with, I feel like it hasn't quite made it down into my lungs yet, and I've never really been overly congested. It's just been like that thick, nasty, heavy stuff with a little bit of a sinus headache in the afternoon, but I'm coughing stuff up now. So fun.
Well, hopefully you can keep it out of your lungs, because that was the worst part of it. Dude, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and it was basically like I was choking because I couldn't stop coughing. It was horrible.
Yeah, I had a couple guys at work that have something similar, and they said they were taking Mucinex, and it was helping a lot. So I grabbed some Mucinex last night and have been taking it since, and hopefully that will help me out and get me better quicker.
Well, fingers crossed. I was doing the Neil Simon sinus rinse thing, like the squeeze bottle with the salt powder stuff you put in it. I was doing that. That helped a little bit. You know, if anything else, it just kind of cleaned you out for an hour. Alka-Seltzer cold and flu, honestly, was probably the most effective thing that I had taken. And then I would take NyQuil at night, which didn't really help much. It would just help me sleep a little bit better because I was knocked out. And then what else did I try? I think that was it. So if it gets to that point, the Alka-Seltzer stuff is actually pretty damn impressive. It helped a ton.
I will keep that in mind. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but if it does, I'll go grab some because I'm done feeling like I'm at 50%. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, hang in there. I started, what was that? It was like a Thursday 1 week. I woke up with a sore throat. Had it Friday, went away Saturday, Sunday, woke up Monday, and I could feel a cold coming. By that Friday, I left early Thursday, Friday, because I was laid out. Saturday, Sunday, I could not get out of bed. And then I took Monday off, worked from home Tuesday, started feeling normal that Thursday, Friday, put the humidifier in that Saturday, and then this Monday, I was just like square one again. I'm like, what the hell happened? So stay away from beer and keep resting.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson over the years. I'm too old to be drinking while sick these days. That's a young man's game, that's for sure.
You might need to bump your gain up a little bit too, by the way. Yes, it is. You gotta plan those events. You gotta know how many you can have and what the repercussions are for each one.
absolutely. Hey, I just turned the gain up a little bit. Let me know if it's any better. But yeah, man, I at this point drink so little. Like, it has to be an event. I don't have beers at home unless people are stopping by. It's just not worth it anymore. And I used to be a pretty big drinker.
Force you like you. That is a little bit hot, Anthony. I don't know if you've got a notch down that you can go, but substantial improvement. It's just too far the other way now. And I was kind of back on the horse before I got sick. I was drinking a couple beers a day. Nothing crazy, you know, a case a week. But I might have to wait till the weather's nice to get out of this BS. Goodbye, Joe.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KE4CYQ, I knew there was going to be an announcement in there somewhere. No, I just want to interject, guys. Don't take what I'm about to suggest if you don't already have it. Don't take it the same day you're taking, like, Alka-Seltzer or cold and flu, because I have that too, and that works. That helps. The gummy bears, the gummy things that you get, airborne gummies, vitamins, that stuff is not bad if you take it by itself once in a while, too. Boost your immune system. Even when you're feeling good before the fall or the winter, or fall, or spring, you know, when the flu season starts here and then people get sick, having that around to boost your immune system before you actually get sick definitely can help. But I wouldn't take it, like I said, along with everything else. But you guys go ahead. Just want to jump in briefly. Have a good day. Good travels. Good work. Safe and all, stay out of trouble or don't get caught. That's my motto, okay? KE4CYQ.
Thanks, Joe. I'll look at that stuff for next time. I don't I'm nice and medicined up, it seems like, on a regular basis at this point. So I'll look at those next time and have them on hand before I get sick. Over to you, Dakota.
At ADF. My counterpart, he eats those things like they're candy. He doesn't have the gummies, but he's got the airborne packets that you mix in water, and he drinks, I think, one a day. And I'll give it to him. He has managed to dodge every sickness I've had. And I would like to assume it's highly contagious. Because for the longest time, him and I shared a workspace. We were both crammed in a small office. We've since moved and gotten our own much larger offices with a wall between us, but you know, we still work hand in hand on almost everything. So he's been dodging the bullet, and he swears by that.
Yeah, you know, I usually do pretty good. This is the first time that I've been sick this, at least this winter. But I usually am taking zinc and vitamin A, B, C, D, and people in my you know, my wife and daughter get sick and I don't, so usually I ward it off, but man, I must have lapsed in my preventative maintenance here, but this sucks.
Yeah, that's what everyone keeps saying. They're like, you're not getting enough vitamin C and vitamin D. I'm like, well, I live in Michigan, so without taking what are they called, supplements for vitamin D, that ain't happening. Because I mean, even when I do go outside, it ain't sunny. And vitamin C, I used to be pretty good about taking that. And I don't know, my diet's changed. Like, I don't eat as much as I used to. I don't think I eat as good as I should. So there's just a lot of factors that come into it. Plus, don't forget, I got three dirty little monsters, man. Like, one of them spilled shredded mozzarella or Parmesan, one of the two, on the floor yesterday, and the little one crawled on the floor and started eating it off the floor. And it's like, no wonder why we're all sick all the time.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I apologize. I just felt compelled to chime in one more time. One thing I learned when I'm working in healthcare is the washing of your, excuse me, I just drank some water and choking. The washing of your hands frequently, and not to be over excessive, but when I get packages from any delivery, Amazon, whatever, and I open them up and take things out, I wash my hands. So whatever's been on those packages are not going to end up in my sinus cavity. So frequent hand washing, and again, not excessive. Some people are excessive, compulsive. But, you know, just frequent enough where you're not rubbing your nose or rubbing your eyes or introducing any germs from any outside sources. That's something people don't often think about or talk about or realize, but it does make a difference. I think it goes over to either Dakota or another gentleman, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, washing your hands is important for sure. Dakota, you know, and it doesn't help, I think, what you've won in school. You got a long road, dude. These kids are introduced to everything, but, you know, then once they're in that environment for a couple of years and getting those germs, then they kind of stop getting sick all the time. So, but you got a ways to go before they've all been in school for a year or two.
So I have two in school, and the youngest one, my son, the younger of the two that are in school, I should say, he never brings anything home. He eats so healthy. He eats like he's a fitness model. All he wants is fruit, vegetables, and, like, chicken. I swear to God. So he never brings anything home. My other daughter, who doesn't eat worth a crap, is where this thing started 3.5-4 weeks ago. And I'm convinced it's because, A, she's in everyone's faces being a child, and she doesn't know to wash her hands, right? And then she doesn't have a good immune system because she doesn't eat for crap. So a lot of things at play. But I used to bank on my, immune system. I would never ever even think about it. Until I had kids, I never got sick, and now it's like every freaking month.
Absolutely. I know how that goes. Yeah, you know, my wife's she's a teacher, and my daughter's in school, so they definitely bring stuff home, but it's not like it was when my daughter was real little and in daycare and then in preschool. But it just sucks, man. It definitely lessens, though. KE8RUH.
That's what I'm waiting for. My wife and I strategically had kids young to get through the hard part while we're young and not having to do this in our, later years. So just keeping our eye on the prize. I'm not trying to rush anything, but, man, I am so tired of being sick and tired and not having time to do anything.
Yeah, the sick part will go away, and I think we've had other conversations about as they get older and you, for lack of better terms, brainwash them into thinking the things that you do are awesome, you're going to have those kids out hunting and doing all the stuff that you want to do, and it won't even be a big deal. It'll be just doing the things you want to do with a new crew. It works out pretty well.
Thank you, DBS. Yeah, fortunately, my two boys, anything I'm doing, they want in, whether it's tools, RC stuff, any of the drones. I mean, they're all in video games. I got them playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade on the Nintendo Switch. So I'm trying to start them young. I don't want them to be the kids that are, quote, gamers, and they don't leave the basement. But I also want them to experience all the fun things I got to do as a kid and things I still enjoy now so we can do them together. So that's the strategy for sure.
Yep. All right, man. I got to get to it. I will catch up with you soon. Maybe tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to be around on Monday. I'm headed up north this weekend, and it's supposed to be like an epic snowstorm. So I think I'm going to accidentally, on purpose, get stuck up north in a snowstorm on Saturday or on Sunday and Monday. So I'll catch up with you either tomorrow or Tuesday. KE8RUH, I will be clear on your final.
All right, man. Sounds good. Have a good trip, and careful driving. I'm going to clear out, too, and just take the rest of the drive here and wait for my phone to start ringing because I'm late, so usually I'm out of dusk by that time. I'll catch you later. N8DBM.
I apologize, Anthony. I didn't know your name there. You guys, you and Dakota, have a great day from KD4ZYQ.
Goody, goody. I got my Starbucks. Took a while, but I got it. Good morning to whoever's out there. W8RCY.
Connected to CMN Network.
Morning, Tom. This is N8ZC. N8ZC clear.
NASV, KJKJO, sorry, I was on my phone. Didn't mean to ignore you.
Good morning. 0800 hours. Clear. 26 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJO, KCAKJO, NAEZR. KJO, NAEZR.
KJO, hey Brian, I'm on the phone. I'll chat with you. I'll try to chat with you in a bit once I get in the Flint area. KJO.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
NABZR, KCAKGO. You still out there, Brian? And I think I heard Phil earlier, too, calling.
Roger, I'm here. This is NABZR. How's it going on your drive up north?
Yes, I am. We got to stop at Schwartz Creek to get some fuel, and then co-worker and I will be heading up there, and then we won't be back till tomorrow sometime.
Yeah, I think they're getting some snow. I don't know. I really haven't checked, but I thought I heard something about some snow up there. Are they getting snow? Are you going to get caught in a snowstorm over?
I would not doubt it. I was looking at that. So it'll probably be quite an adventurous drive on the way back. A little bit more time, but eh, overtime. But is Phil out there? I think Phil was, what is he, NAPTZ, something like that, or NADPZ? I forgot. I know I heard him call me out earlier, too.
I'll stand by. I guess not. I don't hear him in there. Hey, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
This has been bugging me. You know, the PL239 and SO239 connectors, they're only good for 100 megahertz. Yet they have that on the back of my radio, which is, you know, almost 500 megahertz, the 70 centimeters. And I'm just wondering, do I got to change the connector on the end of my connector? I mean, on the end of my antenna? Do I have to change that to an end connector on the end of my antenna? Or should I just leave it? Over.
The entire time that I've had a mobile radio, I have not had an issue with the SO239. So, leave it be. Even my Elinko upstairs, on the LMR400, it's PL239. So PL239 to the Yagi, to the back of my radio. So, I don't see an issue with it. And most connections I see are PL239, even on HF. But that would be an NABDZ question. That's a little bit out of my realm. But to me, I don't see a difference in it. I mean, I got a BNC to PL239, you know, for that one antenna. So I could swap it between my HT and my mobile. So I think it's just a connection. It's just a different type of connection.
Yeah, it seems weird that they would put that connector on there if UHF is, you know, almost up at 500 megahertz. You know, that's a factor of 5 times, you know, over what the connector's rated for. They say the connector's only rated for up to 100 megahertz. I could see them getting away with that for 2 meters, but I don't know about UHF. I don't know. I gotta hook up that VNA, I guess, and just check it, and I'll see what it measures over.
Yeah, why not? That way, settles the curiosity. But I haven't had any issue with it. I haven't heard any talk about it. And where are you getting this over stuff? That's GMRS. Just kidding.
What was that about GMRS? I missed you. I'm getting some overload from these TV antennas in Southfield. Over.
No, I said, where did you get the over from? I've only heard that on GMRS. That's all. I was just messing with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just a habit of talking on the radio to the Coast Guard. You know, we got a little bit different ways. We use troll words to keep the communications down short, and, you know, we always say over at the end of it. So I say it without even thinking, you know, about it. I always do that to let everybody know, you know, let people know I'm done with the conversation. The other thing was, when you told me you were on the phone, I just automatically went to go click the PTT switch twice. We sometimes use that in the Coast Guard auxiliary as a quick response. If somebody says, hey, I'm busy, you know, come back later, we'll click on the mic two times. But that triggers the repeater, so I got to get out of that habit. Over.
I get it. Sometimes some habits are hard to break. When I was in L.A. with the Sheriff's Department, the radios were lower frequency, and they taught me that you key the mic and wait 2 seconds to talk to let the repeater warm up or whatever you want to call it. And also, too, is if not that, double-click it. So you key it once and then key it again. And that way you got the talk time there. But then they migrated over to 800 megahertz just before I left.
Yep, old habits are hard to break. So, hey, Okay, the other problem I'm having is with Chirp, but do you use Chirp to program your radios? Over.
I actually do. I use Chirp for all the ball things except the DM32 and DM1701. The DM1701 and my Resevis and my tight radios, I use OpenGD77.
Danny Zitzy.
There he is. Danny Zitzy. Go ahead, KJKJL. Sorry, I was on the phone when you chirped out earlier.
Good morning, gents. Yeah, no problem, Tom. I actually ended up stepping away from the radio looking for some radio parts as I'm sitting here playing around with my stuff this morning with my morning coffee. But I'm actually on the Durand machine, and I wanted to make sure I was in it good and all that fun stuff, and it sounds like I'm working. Anyway, I was just sitting here listening to you guys talking about, you know, former military and law enforcement radio, and, you know, it's the one thing I notice from time to time is the same thing on DMR. You have to kind of, like, wait a couple seconds to make sure everything clicks into place. Otherwise, it'll clip you. But anyway, now I'm going to figure out exactly where you guys are located so I know how this is all linked up. I was just on the CMEN website looking at the analogs, and it's like, well, that must be all what it is, so I'll quit yammering and pass it over to the other gentleman. I didn't quite catch his call or your name, sorry. So we'll let you guys back at it. I don't mean to interrupt. But I'll be sitting here. N8ZC.
Hello, N8ZC. This is November 8th, Bravo Zulu Romeo. I am on 696 westbound, coming up to Orchard Lake Road, so I guess I'm somewhere around Novi. Yep, that's me. Over to you, Tom.
I am actually getting off on Schwartz, or what is this, Miller Road to go get some fuel, and then on my way up to Petoskey. My co-worker's waiting for me at the fuel depot. So, you sound good on the Durand machine, KCAKJO.
Oh, that's good. I'm actually on my little Baofeng, what is it, the UV32, whatever. And high power with the outside antenna hooked to it. I'm actually not that far from Durand. I don't know, as the bird flies, looking at the repeater location, maybe 10 miles. So, I guess that's pretty good. Anyway, at 8ZC.
Well, you're making it into the repeater, no problem, N8ZC. Oh, what's your name, by the way? Over.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my name's Kerry. That's Charlie Alpha Romeo Yankee. And my call is N8ZC, November 8th, Zulu, Charlie. Back to you.
Good morning, Kerry. Good morning on this bright, sunny day. Yep. Just talking to Tom. He's on his way up to Petoskey and talking about radios. Go ahead.
Yep, and I got to step out of here. I get fuel and then hop on when I get back on the freeway. I'll be back, guys. KCAKJO.
Yeah, I'll be right back also. Dog's begging me to go outside, so I better go let him out. I'll be right back. NXZC.
Okay, guys, good talking to you this morning. I'm almost destinated here, so I'm going to back out. Also, 73 for you, Carrie, 73 for you, Tom. Have a nice, safe drive. I'll be talking to you later along the trip and see how you're doing, make sure everything's okay. I got to get into work here, so. Okay, 73, this is Vinny, DZR, we're clear.
W-H-E-D, W-H-R-C-Y. Wally, are you up and around this morning for a quick question? If that was you responding on the UMP, I did not receive you. All I got was static. I'm on the Warren unit right now. This is W8RCY. We are clear of the channel.
W8VD Mobile.
KACAKJL, good morning.
What's up, young man? I'm heading for my 9 o'clock meeting, and it's 8:57. I'm going to be a few minutes late, but I got good excuses today.
Connected to CMN Network.
What's that? You woke up late? Or you had no hot water?
The dog ate my homework. No, three work phone calls and another one. Hold on. I'm back. I'm using that repeater phone. The word's great, but the hiccup with it is if I get a phone call, the phone call supersedes the priority of the repeater phone.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's flawless. Absolutely flawless. So I kind of like it. Actually, I like it better than using the radio, but the radio isn't in the car right now because I took it out, put it on the bench to program it up a little bit better. And I just haven't had time to mess with it. So last night I went to the gym for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and then came home, and I messed around with DB switch. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
W-A-R-C-Y.
Yes, sir.
30-second question with a 5-second answer. Do you still hear the hum and the buzz in my transmission? I think I found out what the problem was, and since you discussed it with me yesterday, I'm coming back to you with it for an answer. How's my sounding now?
I hear no hum, but I'm on my phone, repeater phone, internet, blah, blah. Tom, do you hear any hum on a signal? Yesterday he had a pretty good hum. I think he got it, though. I can't tell.
So far sounds good to me.
Okay, I'll let you gentlemen carry on. I'll explain what I did and how hard I hit it with a hammer to fix it. I'll talk to you guys later. Tom, safe travels on the road. Wally, have a good day at the office. We'll talk to you later. Thank you for your time. W-8-R-C-Y.
You take care. Stay out of trouble. Be good. So, you know, the other thing I really like about this is I can tell if I'm talking at the same time as somebody else. That makes it really sweet. All right. Then I'll play with this until the newness of it wears off. Other than that, I got to go. I'm buzzing down Radiance Drive. Got to go to the office. 2 minutes late. Maybe I'll get tired. forced to retire. The other thing that's going to be interesting, I'm flying out tomorrow. I'm going to be gone for a week. I'll still be able to talk on this, no problem. And what else? I think that's it. But I'm going to be shocked if listening out.
Enjoy your meeting. I'll catch you later. I got 194 miles and 2.5 hours of driving. Talk to you then. KGL 73.
Okay, I'll find you on some method. WB.
KJO, this is NAZC.
KJO, is that you out there, Tim? I had the speaker down a little bit.
Nope, this is Kerry, NAZC. I just figured I'd jump in for a minute. Sounds like you got a long drive ahead of you. You must be heading up to Petoskey this morning. At least you got a nice, bright, sunny day to do so.
Yeah, gotta drive. I'll be right back, though, Gary. I got another phone call. Casey, KGO. I'll be back out.
Okay, no problem. NHZC.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8FSM Mobile. KBSWR, KBSWR, WHSM.
Connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 10:00 hours. Clear. 28 degrees.
WFSM Mobile, Franklin.
Network.
and AVDS.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KE8VSI monitoring.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 28 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
WF5X, WFSM.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Clear. 34 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Clear. 34 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilowatt Echo 8, Papa Mike Victoria Mobile.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Clear. 34 degrees.
W8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Phil, how's things going over there? Any more news?
I'm just on my way home. I'm monitoring fire, and there's a lot of activity. It doesn't sound like there may be any casualties in the building.
Yeah, you always got to worry if this is part of some bigger thing, you know? Grief.
Yeah, they did clear the firefighters out of the building because they suspect there might be an IED there.
Crazy. All right, well, I just pulled up at the store. I got to run inside here. don't go anywhere near it. We'll talk to you in a bit. W8FU.
Yeah, definitely not going anywhere near there. So, yeah, I don't know. You know about as much as I do. I don't know. Just have to, so we'll have to just watch the news. Anyway, all right. Catch you later. KPR.
Try this again. Connection drops. WPD Mobile.
Do you remember to properly pay the piper so your signal doesn't drop? Good afternoon, W8RCY.
Now my fat fingers hit the red button where it told it to disconnect. So that's what I looked at. I'll do my call out and it was gone. So the weather is looking pretty ominous. 50 to 60 mile an hour winds, and I'm supposed to fly out tomorrow. I'm starting to wonder about that. I'm going to be playing a Delta game tomorrow. They're going to go make me sit in the airport for 6 hours, and they're going to cancel the flight.
I'm originally scheduled to fly out Tuesday night to Sebring, Florida for 4 days. I won't be back till Sunday afternoon. But I'm not too happy about flying out on the night of St. Patrick's Day. And enough of us made a joke of it that we may not be flying out now till Wednesday morning. And I won't miss much because there's no track activity on Wednesdays. But, yeah, so I don't know. Either way, one of us are, you know, I'm just not happy flying out on a drinking night for sure. That's like the Friday, or is it the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the biggest party night of the holiday. You see a lot of incidents happen on those nights as well.
I wouldn't worry about it too much. As long as your pilots aren't drinking, I think you're pretty good. Even now, I found out something really interesting, too, and I learned it kind of from a TV show. Did you know that if something happens to both pilots, these newer planes, these newer jets, they sense that the pilots are incapacitated or whatever, and these things will land themselves. They will go to the airport. They'll send off beacons letting them know that they're under automatic control, and they will land themselves.
I would be still a little bit leery, but I'm not surprised the technology is there. I mean, you have automobiles and SUVs now that you can have hands-off steering and, complete autonomous control of your own passenger vehicle. I'm not talking about, completely driverless vehicles. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd also be a little bit leery of some of it because the technology is still new, even though probably properly tested like anything else. But that would worry me a little bit. But it's better than having nobody up there for sure. So you got a good point on that.
Yeah, I saw it on a TV show. I didn't believe it, but apparently it was true. I Googled it. AI'd. All right, I got to step out here.
No, I understand. You're a busy, busy guy trying to get stuff done before you leave, and I got to do the same thing. All right, good afternoon. Stay warm. Don't blow away in the wind. We'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
KF8F2N, testing.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8F2N, I'm clear.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 38 degrees.
Okay, is there a BTL mobile?
You're connected to CMN Network.
AE8WOJ.
Is there BTL listening?
KE8RUH. KE8WOK. It's kind of quiet out here today. What's going on, WOJ? This is KE8RUH.
And KE4GYQ, you woke me up. Now it's not quiet.
Oh, good. There's at least two pillows on the airways today. How you guys doing? RUH, go ahead. Doing pretty good. Just in traffic. Just living the good life. Stuck here in bumper to bumper.
Yeah, there's no traffic here at my QTH at the moment, thank heavens. But I'm just bucking, bucking the establishment of companies and people, that's all. Trying to maintain a legal, law-abiding, logical way of life, but there's always people trying to do the opposite. How's Mr. WJ?
Well, I'm hanging in there. It's kind of a mess in my neck of the woods today. Seems to be a lot going on in West Bloomfield. Yeah, you might be understating that a little bit. But yeah, it seems to be a lot going on.
Is everybody ready for, KG4ZYQ, everybody ready for another round of a couple snowfalls here and there? People are getting down into the 20s and 30s now after our 70s or 70-degree weather. So you got to get your winter coat. Don't put it away yet. Over to you, Eric.
Well, yeah, not a surprise. It's just March, not even the middle. Well, almost the middle of March. It is kind of a mess over here. I couldn't believe it. I was out checking the alternator on the car to make sure it was putting out, recharging the battery kind of thing, and I came back in the house and the news was on and I couldn't believe it. It's only, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles from here. It's crow flies. Active shooter. Well, actually now a dead shooter. Go ahead. Are you ready? Yep, and Joe, it's going to get cold. We'll see, but like you were saying, it's just the middle of March. We got a little bit more of this to go before we're out of the woods. I can remember pretty good snowstorms in April, so you never put that jacket away, that's for sure.
Yep, KG4ZYQ. Well, they say there's three seasons in Michigan, winter, summer, and construction, and I guess there should be a fourth one called We Don't Know. But active shooters, this guy got shot. Did he have problems getting his latte at Starbucks or something? What happened there, Rick?
Oh, just turn your TV on. Turn the news on there. It's all over the place. Some wacko drove his vehicle into Temple Israel on on Walnut Lake and Drake Road there, and got out with a rifle and started got into a gunfight with the security, and the security took him out. So luckily, he was the only casualty.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, Joe, your nap must have been pretty good for a while now. It's probably about 3 hours ago this all kicked off. So, like Rick was saying, turn the news on and you'll get filled in, because that's all they're talking about.
Yep, I got it on just as he said that, KE42IQ. Well, I got to call Ted Nugent. Now all those gun grabbers are going to come out and probably talk about taking everybody's guns away because some loony had to shoot something up. Well, we can't do that. Only the police will have guns then. I don't know how that will work. Yeah, that's terrible. Over to you, Rick.
Well, I kind of thought that way too, but, you know, there was on the news there, somebody said a citizen with a gun, and then it turned out to be a security guard, apparently, kind of thing. But surprisingly, people haven't been going in that direction there. They were kind of thinking, I imagine gun sales in West Bloomfield are going to go through the roof here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, it's a shock and a surprise. I came in from checking the alternator there, and my brother-in-law said, well, maybe you better unlock your cabinet there. Why? What's going on? You know, holy cow, we're just, you know, this is a quiet area, real quiet.
Yeah, like Rick was saying, Joe, they're definitely not going that direction. They're definitely calling it terrorism, and it doesn't fit their general narrative, we'll say. So I don't think they'll be going the gun-grabbing route on this one.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I'll have to listen to it. I got the sound off for obvious reasons, so I don't transmit over the radio, but I'm reading the captions. But, yeah, that's a shame. There's a definitely a lot of loony. What about the guy father that's been in court lately, and he bought his son that rifle or gun or something after they know he was on social media threatening to shoot up people and stuff? It's like now they got the guy, I think they got him guilty, the father, for arming his son after he should have known his mental status or something. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, that don't make a whole lot of sense. But I imagine the next few days we're going to get a lot of stories of people looking into what's going on there. I heard one news guy say we don't know what it is, if it's terrorism or it could be a love triangle. It could be, you know, it could be anything. It could be a religious hate group kind of, you know, it could be anything. It was only one guy, so it doesn't seem like any kind of a plot. It's just like somebody who just lost their marbles, my opinion anyway.
Yep, time will tell. Definitely looks to be, if I had to guess, it's religiously motivated. They did attack a Jewish synagogue, so we can just start with that. But who knows? It's a crazy world we live in. Just lucky that nobody died other than the aggressor. So, got one in the books for the good guys today, I guess.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, guys, on a different note, I was a victim subject that for the first time ever that I know of, I was calling a company for some service or something, and I had the answering service was AI. It was a woman's voice asking the question and intermittently cutting in and out, like ham radio not making the signal, and I realized it was AI, and talk to a live agent. I will check to see if a human being is available. And you would have swore it was a real woman, but kept saying the same words over and over again. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you for clarifying that. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. It's the whole area seems to be locked down. The library, schools, everything. We lost internet. So I had to fire up the phone hotspot to get out and check out the news and what's going on, kind of thing. I don't really have a over-the-air TV, but it's a very spooky. KEWOJ Friday.
Rick, I just want you to clarify next go around. You said while this all was going on, you lost internet. KE8RUH. Over to you, Joe.
Well, they may directly turned off things or block things just in case there was some organized situation. But they got hundreds of cars in this area that they're looking at, seeing on TV. Over to you, Rick, from KE4ZYQ in the group.
Yes, I went out to fool around with a car and test out the alternator and that. Checked it out with a flute meter, and one reading was fine, and the other one wasn't so good, and I went, what? So I got another meter and checked it out and started with the testing all over again, and then sat out there with the cat for a little while, and by the time I came back in the house, my brother-in-law said, you might want to arm yourself, kind of thing, and I was like, what's going on? But, yeah, anyway, so, and then I checked, and the internet was gone. In fact, I think it still may be, so I don't really know if they did the whole area or you know, what's going on, but we don't have it over here.
Well, that's interesting. Hey, guys, I got one more in me. I'm pulling up to my destination, so I'll throw it over to you, Joe, and I'll comment, and then I'll be taking off. KE8RUH.
Yep, well, thanks for the QSOL and the ride-along, and I'm looking at a lot of cars with flashers on them in the area that they're talking about. I can see what's going on there, at least car-wise. Over to you, Rick.
Well, I just tried it again, and it connected and then dropped right out again, so I'm going back to the hotspot. Something is up in the area. Kind of interesting, the two almost seem connected there, but I can't imagine that. Geez, what are we going to attack you through the internet or something? I don't understand it. There's a lot I don't understand in this world. go ahead, Anthony, I think it's Anthony, right?
Yes, sir, it is. All right, gentlemen, it was great talking to you this afternoon. I'll be back in the car in a little while, and I'll call out if you guys are around. We'll talk to you then. Otherwise, have a great evening. KE8RUH.
Yep, Anthony, we'll keep your head on a swivel, all seriousness, because you never know in the areas we travel in what's happening since the government's action overseas, if you know what I mean. Anything's possible in the States here, so you've got to be on guard and be aware of your surroundings. Seriously, all joking aside. KE4ZYQ, over to you, Rick.
Yes, please, Anthony, take care, and sorry about that. I seem like every day, the older I get, the more I have trouble remembering my own name anymore. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. Joe, go ahead.
Rick, thanks for pointing out the recent activity, because I had another channel on here and taking an afternoon unscheduled nap, sitting here worn out from talking to people on the phone, straightening out problems that I didn't create, by the way. But there's hundreds of cars in here with flashers on in this video of the news, the live news feed on ABC Channel 7. Hundreds of cars.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's got to be a real mess over there. Walnut Lake Road, there's just a two-lane road, a secondary road kind of thing, and right by the corner of Drake, another smaller secondary kind of road. And I go by there every time I go to Meijer for groceries. Only when I go through there, it's 10 to 6 in the morning, so there's no problem. But there's not a big shoulder. There's not, you know, center turn lanes and all that kind of stuff. So I imagine with all the people there and everybody trying to get their kids out of there and all the police and the fire department and FBI and state police and there was an awful lot of helicopters flying around, too. Don't know about now. I heard them earlier. KEWOJ.
Well, what I'm seeing on the news there visually is there's got to be at least 40, 50 times or more visible on what's on the camera now, but they got everybody. They got fire, EMTs, police, special agents, special vehicles. They got just about everything. They called everybody out. I guess it's time for activation and practice and what emergency preparedness is.
Well, that's good. I don't know how long it took all of them to get there, but I don't think it was very long. So thank goodness we don't have this all the time. But apparently when we do, they hop right on it, which is a good thing.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. No, I agree. No, I'm not knocking what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm glad they activated and had that all planned ahead of time, what they do have to do and need to do. It's good that they've jumped to the situation and apparently took the operative, the threat or the person or problem. But we'll hear about it hopefully in the evening news, more detailed. But they got everybody with all outfits on pretty much there and did what they had to do. Comforting feeling, though, that they can do that and have the ability. Because who knows? This is just the tip of the iceberg, maybe.
Yep, well, thank goodness, anyway. The usually it doesn't turn out so well. The only one that met his maker was the attacker, so that's kind of a good thing. But I imagine there's going to be a lot of trauma in the families and the kids and, you know, the rest for a while. So it could have been a whole lot worse.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. And I'm glad you and I, that we talk off radio, you and I are pretty much on the same vein, if you know what I mean, about how do I say it? Being ready for ham radio, whatever. Roger.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're right, and but sometimes I think I'd rather be lucky than ready. You know what I mean? Excuse me. KAWOJ. Anyway, I am going to get out of here for a little bit. I have not had breakfast yet, and I got some Yellowstone chili that I want to try out. Angus beef Yellowstone chili. Sounds supposed to be pretty good, so I am going to dive into that. KAWOJ.
Well, Rick, well, thanks for putting that thought in my head. I don't have any chili. I don't remember the last time I had any, but thanks for making my stomach want some of that. I get there in time, maybe there'll be some left. Hi, just kidding. But always good talking to you. Glad you're still kicking there. And yeah, be careful in your neighborhood. I hope that don't come to all the neighborhoods, so we'll see what happens. Hear the details here this evening or soon, I'm sure. KEWOJ, KE4ZY2Q. Clear for now.
Interdetail. Interdetail, stay with five.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 38 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
N-A-W-R-O, N-A-W-R-O, K-E-A-L-E-X. K-C-A-K-J-O, K-E-A-L-E-X. Nothing heard, K-E-A-L-E-X, standing by and monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
K-E-8-W-O-J. N-A-G-D-F. Hey, Dakota, good afternoon. Rick here, K-E-A-W-O-J. How's it going, Rick? Very mostly cloudy. I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Oh, not so bad. Hanging in there. Just, one more day this week. Got a haircut on the way home.
Good deal. You feeling better there? I know you were down for a while.
You know, I don't know. I think I went back down. I woke up Monday with a gnarly head cold after I thought I was in the clear Friday last week. So I think I'm on the up and up now. It's getting better. Man, this is going on week four. And I talked to a guy at work, had the same thing. He's like, I'm about a week ahead of you. And he goes, it's still lingering. So I got probably another 5-6 days of this crap.
Holy cow. That's, you know, I was seeing some videos on YouTube about exactly the same thing. It appears to people like it's a flu. They get over a little bit of it after a few days kind of thing, and then it's back again, and it keeps going on. But apparently it isn't a flu. You might want to go and see a doctor.
Yeah, that's how it started. It was like pretty bad chest congestion, headache, aches, chills kind of deal. And then I finally was able to kick that, and then it turned into a head cold. Like I said, I'm on it. More than 3 weeks here, so I don't think there's anything a doctor's going to be able to do at this point.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, if you think about it, where do all sick people go? Hospitals and doctors, you know. So even if you didn't have something, if you did go there, you're liable to get something. At least that's the way I feel about it anyway.
That's where I'm at. I avoid them like the plague. Unless I'm... I don't even know the last time I went other than taking the kids. But I don't like taking stuff if I don't have to. I've taken some Alka-Seltzer for this, and that's about... and some NyQuil. And that is the extent of my medicinal treatment. I'm convinced that's part of the problem is everyone goes and gets antibiotics for the sniffles, and then all this crap mutates and mutates and mutates, and then we have a cold for 3 weeks because it's no longer the cold, it's some nasty variation of it.
Yep, and sooner or later it becomes impervious to the drugs and the antibiotics there. Ah, man.
That's my logic. I don't know if it's right or not, but I'm sticking to it. The less foreign crap I got to put in my body, the better.
Yeah, well, why you do it while you can, that's for sure. I got a, I call it breakfast and dinner, a pile of pills I got to take in the morning and in the evening, or late afternoon anyway, kind of thing. And they tell me if I quit them, they could kill me. So I don't know. It seems like everything in this world could kill you. I don't know. So I do what I'm told.
Well, that's just it. The inevitable will come where I'll have to take something for something. And, you know, the longer I can prolong that, the better off I think I'll be. I'm only 32. I don't want to start taking stuff now just because.
Yeah, exactly. And stay active. You know, I ended up having back troubles and just all kinds of stuff, and they kept telling me I couldn't, you know, I had to get a sit-down job, so I started working in offices, and then the 20-some years ago, the heart trouble started, and, well, I got to take it easy, so I did, and then taking it easy turns out wasn't a really good thing, and, you know, now I just barely exist, so stay active as much as you can.
You know, that's my dad. He's 61, shattered his back in a rollover accident when he was 16, and he's so adamant. He's like, if I stop, I'll die. He's like, I got to keep moving. I don't care what it is. I just got to stay busy and keep moving as much as I can, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, where, like, what's killing me is sitting at a desk all day. That's where my back troubles come from, and unfortunately, I don't think there's really any way around it.
No, we got to play the cards we're dealt, right? And, yeah, I know, like, same thing, the back trouble since the mid-80s. It's just got worse every year and every year. Eventually, I was on the pain pillows, and I got tired of being treated like a junkie, you know, because doctors and their doctors' families actually have a need for pain pillows. The rest of us are all junkies, you know. I got tired of that real quick, so I got off of them. But now I've been to a point where I might have to go back to them again.
Yeah, I mean, don't get to a point where you're suffering and your quality of life is, you know, agonizing because you're in pain. But I agree, you know, doctors can prescribe whatever the hell they want to friends and family, but God forbid you do anything.
Yeah, I've been in pain all the time for a long time, and it is kind of agonizing. It greatly affects anything I do kind of thing, but... You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, like I said, well, you know, you can get the pills, but you know, then you get treated like a junkie kind of thing, and I got really tired of that. So, something's going to have to be done pretty soon. But I got a ton of other stuff going on, too, so it really makes it a whole lot worse. I got about 3 hernias in my gut. I got to get taken out, but nobody wants to take them out because they don't think I can live through the surgery kind of thing, and other heart stuff going on. It's a mess, man. You get old, everything starts quitting on you.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know it was to that degree. But, you know, I think at a certain point, too, you just kind of say screw it and run with it, right?
Yep, exactly. There's really nothing else you can do kind of thing. So I'm kind of, I had to give up hunting. And I was going to the range killing paper targets, but I've kind of had to give up that kind of thing. So right down the street, in the garage down the street, I got a lake down there, so I was enjoying some fishing. But hopefully I'll still be able to do some of that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully you're able to get back out there and at least do some, either kill some paper or catch some fish, one of the two, maybe both.
KE8RUH.
Hey, go ahead, young man.
Just back in the car and caught the end of Dakota saying he was catching fish or doing something else, so it piqued my interest. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Dakota and then pass it over to me.
What's up, Anthony? Yeah, we're just talking fishing, hunting, shooting, you know, the usual.
Yes, sir, we're delving into the parts of life that we enjoy. Try to ignore the rest. Go ahead, Anthony.
All right, now we're talking. I bought a new fly rod the other day, Dakota. When are we going fly fishing, man?
I know, man. That is something I've never done, and I think it's just a limitation. Well, no, I technically could fly fish like I would run a topwater, right? I mean, that's something I got to try. I feel like I'd really enjoy it. What about you, Rick? You ever fly fish?
Oh, yeah, I used to get into it, but, you know, it seemed like a lot of the streams I got on, a lot of places, I was always hooking up limbs and trees and brush, and a spinning rod was always a whole lot quicker and easier kind of thing, so I kind of gave it up. But I do enjoy tying flies and tying jigs and that kind of thing, but I use it now with spinning equipment. Go ahead, Anthony. KWOJ.
Yeah, you definitely catch as many trees. You catch more trees than you do fish, that's for sure. But, yeah, Dakota, you could totally strip streamers the same way you rip a topwater. And even fish topwater stuff, topwater flies, there's a lot of flies that are very similar to topwater baits that you fish bass. Either way, I think, honestly, they're exactly the same. They make these, they're called wobbly buggers, wobbly boogers, something. And they're just a top water that just glugs along as you strip the line. And it's just like reeling down on a top water bait.
Yeah, see, I could get behind that. I think that would be a lot of fun, just catching. I mean, you're going after trophy fish. I'd just be ripping largies, but still sounds fun.
Yeah, they're called woolly boogers. Woolly boogers, and you can get them top water. You can wait so they go under nymphs, different kinds of things. We did used to use fly fishing in boats on the lakes to catch some really nice panfish. That was a whole lot of fun too. But yeah, I like the old woolly booger. Put a little bit of weight on the hook, a little bit of lead on the hook there, and just drift them through the holes, and bam, you know, they work pretty good.
Yeah, Dakota, there's probably some of the biggest largemouth bass I've caught on Lake St. Clair were with Clouser minnows on an 8-weight fly rod, sight fishing them, which is pretty cool. Not real easy, but pretty cool when you can do it.
That was my absolute favorite way to fish. I mean, I obviously was fishing with a baitcaster, but sight fishing bass is, I don't know, it's got to be my favorite type of fishing. Just on a kayak, you get in nice and close and sneak up on them, and then you just start lobbing in your bait like a wacky worm or something. Yeah, I haven't fished in years, but that was probably my favorite type of fishing. That, and obviously ripping frogs on pads, that's a riot too because it's such a fight to get them out.
Yeah, the sight fishing is really nice. When I first got into tournament fishing there, we had a local club. Brandon had a bass club there, part of the BASS group there. And we had a tournament going on Lake Nipissing in Lapeer there. And me and the president of the club were in the boat. And at the time, I only had one or two rods and hooked up kind of thing. And, the bass fishermen, they got six or eight rods sitting there all hooked up kind of thing. So I see this bass. It's a nasty day. Nobody's catching any fish. And I tell him, grab that rod right there and throw it over there. And he's going, no, if you saw the fish saw you, blah, 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 blah. Just do it, will you? Or let me take your rod. So he finally picked up the rod, threw it over there. Bam, the fish hit. It was the only fish caught in the tournament, and he won the tournament. So that's how that goes.
Yep, it's all good patterns, and everybody knows how the patterns are until they're not the patterns, and sometimes you just got to go by your gut and say, nope, throw it over there, and you're going to catch one. And sometimes it just works out, and that's always real exciting.
NADDF. I think that's another reason why I like bass fishing so much. Like you said, Rick, you always have, like, way too many rods that are rigged up for different things, different weights, different, you know, you're running mono, you're running fluoro, you got braid on this one for top water. I was, I don't know, I miss it. There was a lot more of a gear component to it than a lot of other things that I do. Like, I love my gear for hunting, too, but fishing was special because there was so much you could try.
Yeah, I was in a tournament on Lakeville Lake one time over in Stumpy Cove, throwing a beetle spin, a good-sized beetle spin for bass around the stumps kind of thing. And one of the biggest pike I ever seen in my life comes shooting in there right behind, about an inch behind my beetle spin. And I wanted to quit right there. I thought, the heck with this tournament. I've been waiting for a pike like that my whole life. And the guy I was with was complaining. Come on, we're in the tournament. We got to win the tournament. This is a once-in-a-lifetime fish, man. So he kept whining. I said, all right, forget it. I'll come back some other time, see if I can find him. I had another monster up in Canada, but that's a whole other story. Took my 3-pound walleye. Anthony, go ahead.
Dakota, if you love gear, fly fishing is for you, sir. It is gear intensive, and there's always a different type of line, just like you were saying. There's a different line for every application. There's a different rod weight for every application. Different reel, different everything. But actually, there's a lot of guys that will fish the Huron River for smallmouth with fly rods, and it's supposed to be a really good river system for that. Really healthy, a lot of fish. And I just, even though it's so close, I just have not been down there. And I've been busting my buddy's chops. We got to get down there this summer and fish it because it's supposed to be awesome.
Sounds like another expensive hobby that I shouldn't even look at. But I was going to ask, you know, where can you fly fish around here? Because I don't have a boat. I don't have a kayak anymore. I got waders, but they're not fishing waders. But I guess, you know, for the frequency I would go, they'd probably get me by. You know, if there's some reasonably close spots, I'd be down to try it.
Well, Dakota, lakes are the best, actually, because you don't have all the brush behind you to hang up in. That was my problem is, you know, if you just broke off a fly and had to tie on a fly, but you got to replace the leader and the whole nine yards. And every time you snag up and break off kind of thing, it turns into quite a while re-rigging kind of thing. But yeah, lakes are the best because you can have a ball on there. But any streams or rivers where you got halfway clear background in front of you. I got into jigs myself, heavy into jigs. I love jig fishing, so. That's mostly what I do anymore. KUWOJ, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Rick, it is difficult to get in the rhythm of tying everything when you have when you've broken off. But you can figure things out and different little hacks to make it work easy for you. But Dakota, there's you know, it's hard. You can fly fish anywhere that you can spin fish. But as far as rivers locally, man, there's probably, you know, we fish the Clinton in the spring coming up here for steelhead. There's not a lot of them, but, you know, every once in a while you can get lucky. And then I bet there's some, you know, all those inland lakes up by you, and then there's probably some streams up there. I don't really know. But it is something that takes some work, and it's not just around the corner. You got to invest some time and be ready to get out there and get after it, because it is something that is not for you, for me, it's not just around the corner. That's why I do most of my fishing up north, unfortunately.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, you know, time is a luxury that I don't have a whole heck of a lot of anymore. So when you're fishing lakes around here, though, I mean, are you shore fishing that? Are you on a pier, a dock? I mean, do I have to get a kayak? How do you... You know, you need some room to work. What are you, you know, how are you fishing that?
Well, I was always in boats. We were wandering around bass and pike fishing in boats kind of thing. And when they weren't cooperating there was usually a whole bunch of killer-sized bluegill and crappie that were cooperating there. So we'd switch over to... flies, and that was a whole lot of fun and a whole lot quicker. It was it's a ball. We ended up catching these monster bluegills, and we got like, I don't know, 30, 40 of them kind of thing. And we ended up taking them over and stocking a pond over off a 34-mile Mac Road west of the Proving Grounds there. And them things took off in there and breeded, and now that thing's just full of these monster bluegills. Anyway, yeah, boats, shoreline, wherever you can, you'll get the hang of it. Plus, you can do roll casting if you don't have a clear background. There's a lot of different things you can do. Anthony, go ahead.
Yep, Rick's right. You can, a lot of times, obviously, like any fishing, a boat or a kayak makes it much easier. But, you know, you find a spot that looks fishy, and, you know, fish go where fish go, whether you have a fly rod or a spinning rod, and you just go find them. You know, if you have your waders on, you hop in the water. If the water's got a, if there's a good bottom, you just walk to wherever you want and start casting. I know in the spring, you know, coming up, a lot of guys will go out in Lake St. Clair, and guys will go out right in front of Metro Beach and just wade in the water and start casting and catch gigantic pre-spawn bass. So, I mean, there's just a ton of opportunity. And like I said, if the area looks fishy with a spinning rod, it's fishy with a fly rod.
Sounds like I need to learn a little bit more about this, because if it's that accessible from a location standpoint, then it's just a matter of freeing up time. I still have all my tackle and spinning rods. I got rid of all my bait casters, but I would definitely buy a couple pieces of gear to play.
Oh, I couldn't get rid of my bait casters. I just love those things, especially for jigging. I don't know. There's just something about them. Got to have them. Yeah, it's a fun thing. I've been looking into chumming lately. There's a whole bunch of recipes on the internet, all organic, natural kind of stuff. And one guy was telling was did a video on him and a big three or four boats full of guys, bass fishermen, were on this one lake one weekend, and they got 9 fish, and you know, like 4 boats with 2 guys apiece, so that's 8 guys or something like that. They got 9 fish over the weekend. Then the next week they found this chum recipe and tried it out. And that weekend they went back to the same guys, went back to the same spot, and they caught 51 fish. So I'm definitely looking into that. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds like a rather productive way to get some fish going. K-E-8-R-U-H. But, yeah, Dakota, it's as accessible as you make it. And, you know, you could probably... We could find you a rod for rod, reel, fly line, combo kit, entry level, that a couple $100, a spool of line, and a couple top water and below water flies, the strip, and a box for those flies, and you'd be good to go. You know, it takes a lot of work. You got to figure a lot of stuff out, but... like I said, it's not a whole lot different. It's going to be different technique, but other than that, like, like I said, man, fishy waters, fishy waters.
I'm going to make this for my last pulling in the driveway here, but it sounds like every other hobby I have where I know nothing going into it, and then I obsess over it until I do. Talking to my wife about, I'm infatuated with RC airplanes, and I've never been able to successfully fly them, but she said that she made a good point. She goes, you got an FPV a year and a half ago, and you couldn't get it off the ground, and now you fly it in the basement. And I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. You know, I just got to obsess over it long enough, and then I learn. But I'm going to clear out of here, guys. I'm pulling in the driveway. We'll keep in touch about the fishing adventures. You guys have a good night at AGF.
Okay, Dakota, have a good one. It's 7-3s, and you're absolutely right. I don't think I've ever been able to learn anything without buying something first. I wanted to get into photography, and you can read all the books you want, but you got to have a camera to play with. And I ended up buying one, and then a week later I bought another one. I had two cameras within 2 weeks. And then you start learning. How do I fix this? How do I do that? How do I do this? You know, you got to be presented with the problems to figure out how to fix them. Anyway, take care, and hopefully we got you hooked on another sport there. TDAWOJ. Anthony, go ahead.
Yep, all right, Dakota, have a good one. We'll talk soon, I'm sure. Yeah, you're totally right, Rick. You got to obsess over it. That's how you learn about it. And then if the obsession sticks, you become really good at it.
Yes, sir, and the only thing more enjoyable than buying your own toys is helping the buddy spend his money and buying toys. That's like steelhead fishing. Boy, I got into steelhead fishing, big time kind of thing, obsessed about it. But I think it was probably 2 years before I caught my first fish.
Oh, yeah. I've spent a lot of time obsessing over steelhead, and I can count on one hand how many I've caught and landed. But man, there's nothing more exciting, but boy, they are elusive, and you have to be obsessed.
Yeah, for sure. I was always a lake fisherman, you know. It seemed like we just didn't have rivers and streams around wherever I was, kind of thing. So I was great at lake, but boy, you stick me in a river, I was lost, kind of thing. So, I attributed it to steelhead fishing, but it really wasn't. It was really, I didn't really know a whole lot about river fishing and streams and the whole nine yards kind of thing. So it was a whole learning, not just steelhead, but about the rivers and, the back ripples and all that other kind of good stuff there. It was, but it's a lot of fun. And like you said, they hit and take off, and you'd swear you just hooked a passing freight train going about 60 miles an hour. Line goes screaming off your rod. It's it kind of makes your knees knock. Anthony, go ahead.
That is for sure. But hey, I got to cut you loose because my daughter is texting me about dinner. So I got to give her a call and figure out what's happening. So it was good talking to you this afternoon, and we will catch up soon again, I'm sure. I will be clear on your final. This is KE8RUH.
Okay, Anthony, you have a good one there, 7-3s, and always good to talk with you, and we'll catch you later. KE8WOJ, I'll be clear.
Hey, Bill. Hey there, Bill.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1800 hours.
sunny. 38 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 1900 hours. Sunny. 38 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Bravo, Alpha, Dusty.
KFAF2M, listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Bravo, Alpha, testing.
KFA DVD, this is KFA F2N. I got you at 5-9, Roger.
Roger, new operator.
Roger, that's good. Yeah, I got you at about a 9 MS meter. What kind of radio are you using?
I'm using a Biofang K6 with a 36-inch antenna. Over.
Okay, well, that's a good setup there. I'm running it any phone. The big antenna. It's kind of like the setup I have. I have a Biofang AR-152 with a 42-inch antenna. It's a 3-foot tape. I'm reading you now as a 5.7, so I got you to 5.7 now, which is still perfectly loud and clear.
Yeah, sounds good. I just got my license today, and I listened here, and I believe I've heard you on here before.
Yeah, you probably have. I got my license on January 22nd. I'm a tech currently. Looking to get my generals, but congratulations on getting your license.
All right, thank you much for the comeback. It's just nice to be able to have a good conversation and just be able to enjoy the freedom of being on the air again.
Yeah, ham radio is a great hobby. I heard you said again. Now, have you been a radio operator before?
Negative. I used to talk on the TV a lot. Back in the 80s, it was a lot of fun, and you could have a lot of fun on it and talk to a lot of people, but over the years, it's kind of changed, and just kind of fell out of it and fell into this by accident, and glad I did, because I know it's going to be an enjoyable hobby.
Oh, yeah, it is. Ham radio is definitely a good, enjoyable hobby. So much stuff, so many handhelds, so many radios, so many different types of antennas, so many, what, types of modes. Sorry, it's my controller. Hold on, KFAF2N, standby. Alright, this is KFAF2N. Sorry about that, that was my drone. Yeah, but what I was saying, there's so many antennas, there's so many, different types of, like, ways you can get out there, like meteor scatter, moon bounce. It's a really fun hobby.
Yeah, I know back in the 80s, and when I was a little more into it, they used to do a lot of skiff talking across the country, and it was pretty interesting to hear how that works and stuff. How the waves can go across the country like that. But it has to be at a certain time of the day for that to seem to work. And if you know when to do it, it was a lot of fun. Over.
W8EAP.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah, certain conditions and stuff. But I heard W8EAP calling out, so go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there and say hi. I think your name is Wyatt. And congratulations to the other guy. He said he just got his license today, I think. He said he used to talk on the radio in the 80s. Yeah, I was big in the CB in the 80s. Probably crossed paths way back when. I was in the Sterling Heights area.
Yeah, my name's Tom. I live up in Birch Run. And like I say, just got my license today, and glad to get started. I appreciate you guys answering back. Nice to have a good conversation again on the radio.
What radio are you on today, Wyatt?
I'm on the Anytone 778 hooked up to a Diamond X50. What about you?
Anytone? You said it's a 778? Yeah, I have an Anytone 778, and I have a 779. I'm on a TYT MD9600. Kind of like what you got, but it's a 50-watt version with DMR, but equal popularity. Yeah, I really like the 778. If that's what you said, I thought you said that.
Yeah, I was in Intel 778. I had a 779. I heard about that radio when I was searching up about the Intel. But yeah, Intel's a great radios. But I'll hand it over to, I didn't get your name, but I believe the call sign is, I'm horrible at call signs, so KF8EBD.
Yeah, I got you. KF8EBA.
Well, the guy just got his call. He said
Roger,
his call
was
KFA-EBH.
Over the conversation with you right now. Sorry,
no,
I'm talking to
that,
customer
right.
Support on this product.
That's right. I
just
had to write down people's
that.
Call, especially new people.
No, the call sign is Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Bravo.
KFAFN. Roger, Kilo Foxtrot 8, Golf Bravo Delta. I got you logged down here in the logbook actually. Is that radio you're using? I've never had any like that type of radio before. Do you like it?
Foxtrot Lima.
As far as my radio here, this is my first one, and I also have, it's a TID radio, it's a H3, also, has Bluetooth on it, and a Spectrum on it also.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, monitoring.
Well, what is up, Sean? A little advice, the repeater was still doing its, kind of end tone thing, so, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure from what I heard, you gotta wait, or don't have to, but I guess you gotta, like, wait something as a courtesy, my end. Well, I don't know, I could be wrong, who knows, but, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had to hop on. I was on the phone. This is friends, guys. Oh no, I still am. Anyway, yeah, I just decided to hop on the radio since as they were just talking and they just said, "Oh my God, stop talking." So, you know, I decided to hop off and just get on here for fun. But yeah. So how's it been going for you?
It's been going good. I'm practicing Morse code on my telegraph keys and stuff. How about you?
I've been starting to practice CW and some stuff like that. I just bought me an SDR card and hooked it up in during school. I hooked up an SDR to my school computer during school, so that was fun.
Your school computers don't block that and go Guardian. That's crazy. Ours probably would. I'm hopefully getting SDR and hooking that up to a Raspberry Pi. More maneuverability. But I'll hand it over to KS8 GBD.
KS8 GBD.
KS8 GBD, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Roger, we were just handing the conversation over to you. No pressure, though. When people say, like, your call sign, your name, over to you, basically that means they're kind of handing the conversation over to you. And you can say what you want to say, or you could say that, like, I don't know, you don't want to talk, it's up to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I was just sitting back listening to you guys there for a minute and taking a look at my computer real quick to see what I have downloaded on my radio so far. And was just taking a quick look.
Okay, yeah, we were just, yeah, it's fine. I'll hand it over to, Sean, K-E-A-F-L-Y, or K-F-A-F-L-Y.
One thing about your Go Guardian, I've heard about that, but, you know, our schools use two web blockers at once. I just found this out. Apparently, we use Cisco and Fortinet, so it's two web blockers combined. You guys have, like, Chromebooks, correct? You do Windows, and that's how I got the SDR to work. If you guys have Chromebooks, since you use Go Guardian, I'm a bit more protected. You guys have Chromebooks, correct?
Yeah, we use Chromebooks and we use the Go Guardian. So Go Guardian is facing some backlash because of apparently they're like leaking information and stuff. But yeah, we use Chromebooks.
Go Guardian is apparently leaking stuff. Well, thank God I use it. This feels a lot more trustworthy, to be honest. Even the U.S., even my mom went to the U.S. government because that stuff was better. And even the U.S. government still uses what they use, what we use. We literally use the same exact protocol
And, but yeah, though, I was reading about that on some tech forums, and I'm like, that looks neat. That's like that kind of like blocking. But,
the ISS is passing overhead right now. If you want to get on the radio and listen to ISS, you can. The downlink frequency is 43790, and then it's called Doppler shift. So when ISS is kind of peeking over the horizon, it's 43790. When it's directly above you, it's 437800, and then when it goes below the horizon, it's 437810. You can't, no CTCSS, and you go into Squelch 0. If you want to talk to them, it's pretty rare with that type of antenna, but the uplink is 145990 with a CTCSS of 76 hertz, roger. Again, the frequency is 437800. With your SDR, you should be able to see the full bandwidth of the ISS. Pretty hard not to see. And again, that is 437800 on FM. This is KFA-FQN. Hey, Sean, stand by, please. KFA-FQN, back to KFA-SLY. Copy testing, you're coming in morning, please.
Connected to CMN Network.
Good evening.
WACAP.
Hours. Clear. 33 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network.
CFA-DRC from WACAP. CFA-DES from WACAP.
KFA-SQN, listening.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA-SQN, good night everybody, 73 is clear.
Good evening, 22 hours, clear, 33 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, cloudy, 31 degrees.